My guest is on the line. He is Colonel of the Reserves Ilan Lerman, and he is the Vice President of the Jerusalem Institute for Strategy and Security, an expert in Israeli security and Middle Eastern geopolitics. Colonel Lerman, thanks for chatting to me this afternoon.
Thank you for having me. It's Iran, but it's okay.
Iran, it will be. Iran, it will be. That's easy enough. And Iran, talk to me about recent developments in Israel. It seems like certain members of hostages' families forum are calling for a pause in the ceasefire until Hamas return the remaining bodies of the captives. Is there bandwidth in Israel for a message like this? Are people prepared to hear this message?
Well, people are definitely very angry watching Hamas shenanigans and tricks and attempts to postpone the handing over of the hostages' bodies, given that we have very firm intelligence about at least 9 or so of the 13 bodies that have not yet been returned, that they know where they are and they can deliver them. They did something really strange yesterday, delivering parts of a body that has already been retrieved that remained in their hands. And the whole thing is looking as if Hamas is simply trying to delay the implementation of the next phase, under which they are internationally expected to lay down their arms and cede control of Gaza to an alternative government. And these are simply attempts to delay the inevitable. So yes, there is anger and there is a degree of support. There will be support for the government if it chooses once again to use military pressure to get Hamas to comply with their obligations under the Trump 20-point plan. However, we also have to be attentive to the need to give diplomacy, if you wish, international coercion more precisely, enough time to work, to do its to have its effect. And we, of course, are in very close dialogue with the American administration. Vice President J.D. Vance was here, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Chairman of the Chiefs of Staff may be arriving soon. There is an American headquarters established in the northern part of the Negev, south of Tel Aviv, in Kiryat Gat, managing the Gaza transition. And so obviously we need a very close and intensive dialogue with the Americans, whatever we do there. So all of this is creating essentially a number of options. One is to go in militarily. The other is to increase pressure. The third would be to take a long breath and start creating new realities in the parts of Gaza that are under Israeli control, so that the local population can move away from Hamas-controlled areas to better life in the so-called yellow area of Gaza. And all of these are decisions that need to be taken and will be taken soon.
So
right now, Hamas is beginning to say, well, yes, we will bring another hostage and another hostage. They understand that the international community, and specifically President Trump, are losing their patience.
So let's just follow this through for a moment. Let's imagine that the side that says terminate the ceasefire, go in and do whatever it is that you need to do. What would be the security implications for Israel if, in fact, that ceasefire was paused or delayed? And I'm asking this question against the backdrop of thinking that Netanyahu doesn't have much wriggle room anymore. He pretty much has to do what Trump tells him to do, doesn't he?
Well, I think it's somewhat more complicated than that, because he's capable of persuading Trump that we have no choice but to act. Trump has said more than once
Fair enough.
That if Hamas does not comply, they will pay the price for it. And obviously, it's not American troops who will carry that out, but our own military. Now, the situation has changed dramatically since the living hostages are back, because there's no longer the acute fear that actions in certain areas would lead to the death of hostages. That had to happen in the early stages of the war, and there's no wish for this to happen again. But now they're all home, back home, and the IDF can act freely with its full firepower intact. And Hamas is weaker than the images that they try to convey. It is feasible to destroy them militarily. It's preferable to let the international community and their own friends, like the Turks and Qataris, exert enough pressure on them so they would understand that their position is untenable.
Is that in the Turkish interest to do so, or do they actually have an interest, the Turks and the Qataris, of seeing that Hamas lives to fight another day?
Indeed, that is the worry, the sincere worry in Israel, that the Turks and the Qataris have undeclared purposes which are not really in line with the Trump plan as explicitly stated, because the plan clearly says with no there's no level of uncertainty there. Hamas must be disarmed, and there should be a new government and an international transition authority in Gaza. They will have to make up their minds with all the sympathy and friendliness that Trump has shown them. Do they really want to stand in the way of implementing what they have agreed in his presence to implement? Or will they try to wriggle, to do something which involves Hamas disarmament, with the hope that somehow down the road they would still live on as an idea or as a political presence and under their wing? It's a tough decision for them as well. And much depends on the ability of the present Israeli government to demonstrate to Trump that we have done all that we can, sincerely done all that we can, to comply with the 20 points. And it is Hamas which is the stumbling block for their implementation. And once Trump takes that position, I think it will be a bit difficult for the El Thani clan or for Erdogan's politics to overcome an angry American position.
I'm thinking about the fact that Israel might have won the battle, but it appears to have lost the war, in terms of the fact that it has lost global sympathy. The public opinion is certainly against Israel following the destruction in Gaza. And I'm wondering to what extent it's realistic to think that Israel could even go back in if even it felt it should.
Well, everything depends on whether or not we can make a coherent case to all who have signed on in grand ceremony in Sharm el-Sheikh to Trump's 20 points, that it is not because of us that this is falling apart, because they all signed on, even countries like France and others who firmly support the two-state solution, recognition of a Palestinian state, and so on, also signed on to the demand that Hamas should be disarmed, must be disarmed. If Hamas refused to carry out this fundamental aspect of their obligations, then I think we are in a position that if we conduct ourselves properly, if we continue to let humanitarian supply flow to those Palestinians who are not under Hamas control, to give everyone an opportunity to leave the contested areas so we can fight the militants, Hamas only, then I think we stand a chance to make our case.
I must say that
it's
is
not
interesting.
Going to be easy.
Yeah, I've seen a new.
It's not going to be easy, but it very much depends on whether or not we can make a clear argument that Hamas have foiled the second stage and not Israel.
Yeah, very interesting. We'll see how this goes. That argument that you've just made, I've heard that argued by a number of Israeli analysts, saying that the point, the purpose of this yellow line of keeping 54% of Gaza was for exactly that, was to let the population move across to the Israeli side to live a halfway decent life, if that's what they chose to do, and then Israel would have freedom of movement against those remaining.
The ISF and the GITA, whichever way you want to pronounce it, the proposed Blair administration, if it's going to be Blair, I don't know. But the ISF is already being organized. The Americans are very active. The Indonesians and Azeris and others are willing to put forward significant forces. All of these elements will not go into Hamas-controlled areas unless they are clear, unless Hamas lays down and lay down their arms, or unless Israel moves in and clears areas of Hamas. But they can and should move in to the 54% or odd percent controlled by Israel, and that may be increased if Hamas Israel does not comply. And give a better life to the Palestinians who are willing and able to move away from Hamas control. It's a longer and messier and less elegant solution than Hamas surrendering to the will of the international community, but it's doable.
I was so positive when I was reading a couple of weeks back about the disarmament process in Lebanon. I'm talking about Hezbollah. It seemed like the Americans were putting enormous pressure on the Lebanese authorities, President Aoun, to ensure that they demilitarized. And it seemed like there was momentum in that regard. Up until last week, when Hezbollah announced that this was a red line in the sand, they absolutely refused to do so, and that giving up their arms would be a betrayal of who they are. This seems to be a very hard sticking point in the Middle East to get proxy terrorist organizations to lay down arms, never mind the fact that they may have lost the battle.
Yes, but in the case of Lebanon, we have clear evidence that the great majority of Lebanese are sick and tired of having seeing their country destroyed in the interest of a foreign element, namely the Iranians. Hezbollah no longer serves any discernible Lebanese interest, and they are much weaker than they pretend to be. And Israel will continue to hammer them. By the way, they have not responded. Now the Houthis from Yemen are beginning to threaten that they will intervene on behalf of Hezbollah. But they've also suffered some serious blows and have ceased their attacks on Israel for the time being. And in any case, they were rather ineffectual, other than troubling us from time to time at night. They have achieved next to nothing.
Sure.
So if Hezbollah puts itself in a situation where we would be obliged to increase the military pressure on it, I think we are in a position to bring them to their senses. Their bridge to Iran has been broken. Syria under Ahmadinejad, for all its faults, is acting quite decisively to block any supplies to Hezbollah. So, and we are in a position, of course, to ensure that Iranian plane loads do not land in Beirut Airport anymore. So Hezbollah is isolated, weakened, hated by many, many Lebanese. We need patience. This cannot be done overnight in a fragile place like Lebanon. But I'm still optimistic about the long term.
The long term. That's a good place to leave it. Colonel of the Reserves, Eran Lerman, thank you for your input this afternoon.
You're very welcome. Thank you.